chapter 2 of the second epistle to Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses who came from this last faithful man, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, in good heartedness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboureth must be first the taker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but in the word of God is not bound.
To the Son of God, who has redeemed us from fathers unto himself. Now, I think that's what the Apostle has in mind in writing in this book. The Lord of it, the last writing that comes to us from the pen of the Apostle Paul, and it's written from a Roman gun. The Apostle is at the end of his life. He's now ready to be off. And no doubt he feels that this is the last letter that he's going to write. He knows that he's going to leave this world. Persecution has arisen to such a point that the Apostle Paul is now suffering as an evildoer, and he tells us here for the name's sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. That persecution which the church began to experience began in the 70s and began under Nero, and the Apostle Paul was beheaded under Nero, and Nero died in 68. Now, the actual time when the Apostle Paul was beheaded, we don't know. And the actual date of this letter, we don't know, but it must have been in 67 or maybe the latter part of 66. And he's writing from this dungeon, and he's writing to his son Timothy in the faith. And there are things that are weighing heavily upon his heart. And he has a message for Timothy, whom he has seen led to Christ, and whom he has a real interest in as a young man in Christ. Now, I can think of the Apostle Paul as he's writing this letter to Timothy, knowing that his sins will be offered up, because he reminds them in the third chapter, he says, I am now ready to be offered. And he says, the time of my departure is at hand. He apparently is conscious of this, that very soon his head is going to be laid upon Nero's cross, and he's soon going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we would naturally think and wonder what's weighing heavily upon his heart, and what message he has before his mind for Timothy and for the Christians as well. My dad passed away just a year ago. He went into the hospital, and things were seemingly coming along all right. He expected to be home in a few days, but instead of coming to his home on earth, he was home in heaven in a few days, at home of the Lord. Now, from the time he went into the hospital, it was 3 weeks in duration, he seemed to have the feeling that he wasn't going to come out of the hospital. He seemed to feel that his course was ended. He had that feeling from the time he went in, and the words that he said were just along that line. We were amazed afterwards as we thought of the things that he said, and the way he was facing things. But what I want to say was this, just before he left the sea, and before he went into the presence of the Lord, he called his son into the bedroom, and he had a conversation with him behind those closed doors. He told him certain things, and he gave him certain instructions, and he was very conscious of this. I'm soon going to leave this sea. And that message that he gave to his sons, he cherished those words. And he sought with all his desire to carry out those desires of his dad after he left. Now here's the Apostle Paul, and he's soon going to leave this scene, and he's writing to his son Timothy in the faith. And he's giving him certain charges, and he's telling him certain things that he desires for him as a young man in Christ. And so I think we might all well find a lesson and instruction in this letter to the of the Apostle to Timothy. You notice there are seven pictures of the Christian in this chapter, and four of them are grouped together in the first verses of the chapter which we read together. And then he finishes that grouping with these words. He says, "Consider what I say." Consider what I say. I want you to weigh well in the words that I'm speaking. I want you to think well over the words that I have been bringing before you. And so he says, consider what I say. And then he says, remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David. And then he has a little to say about Jesus Christ. And he holds up the Lord Jesus Christ as the example, as it were. And he says, keep him in mind. Now he first begins by addressing Timothy in this way, and he says, my boy, my boy. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ, my boy. He first speaks to Timothy as a son, and I think that Timothy, we can see him as a devoted son. And that's what we should see, all of us. We should be devoted sons in the family of God. Then he speaks of him, as you notice in verse 3, and he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he says, a soldier doesn't entangle himself in the affairs of this world. And he tells us why, that he might please him who has called him to be a soldier. And he speaks to Timothy about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then you notice in the next verse he speaks to him, and he addresses him as an athlete. And he says, if a man strive for mastery, or if a man contend in the game. He's speaking of the athlete, and he says, if a man contends in the game, he says he's not friend except he strives lawfully. There must be the striving lawfully if a man is contending in the game, and if he's running in the race. Then you'll notice in verse 6, he speaks of him as a husbandman. Now, that word husbandman is more or less of an obsolete word in our day. The word which we'd apply today is a word farmer, a laborer, a farmer. And so he says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Now here are the first of the four pictures that he gives us in these opening verses of the Christian. First as a son. And when I think of a son and what the Apostle has in mind here, you'll notice he says he's strong. Now that's what God likes to see in those who are saved. He likes to see a strong, and he likes to see vigor and vitality in his children, and as we like to see it in children naturally, so God likes to see it in his spiritual children as well. Then after speaking to him about being strong, then he says, I want you to commit to faithfulness. I want you to remember the things that you have heard, the things that you have heard of me by many witnesses. I want you to remember those things. And he says, I want you to commit them to faithful men. And he says, men who will be able to teach others also. Now he doesn't say to commit them to learned men. He says, commit these things to faithful men and men who will be able to teach others also. You know that time the truth of God is handed down. One generation rises and another generation comes upon the scene. Generation follows after generation. And the truth of God has been committed into our hands today, and God expects us to pass on that truth which he has entrusted us with. And he says to Timothy, now I want you, Timothy, to commit that truth to faithful men. Men who will be able to teach others also. Then too, when he speaks about the soldier, the next thing that's outstanding there is, of course, he's to endure hardness. Now a soldier, the first thing they do with them when they get them into the army is they toughen them up. And they put them through 6 weeks of rigid training. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get rid of all the flabberness, and they're trying to toughen them up for the battle that's ahead of them. And they're showing them this. You're going to have to endure hardness. And you know, the apostle is thinking of Timothy, and he says, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then he says of him, he says, now a soldier, or a man that loadeth, he says not to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Now that naturally speaks to us of separation. And for this child of God is to be separated from this world. God has called us out of this scene, and he has separated us unto his son. And he expects us to live separated lives from this world in every phase of it. And so he says, he's not to be entangled in the affairs of this life. Now there are many things that we might say about the soldier, but a devoted soldier is one that remembers his captain. And the Lord Jesus is the captain of our salvation. And he expects us to be faithful to him as the captain of our salvation. Then I might say, in connection with the athlete, you'll notice the thing that stands out there. It's the man that's driving in the race. And he's described, but he's described lawfully. In other words, he's to remember the rules. And God has given us the rules in his word. He has set down those rules and regulations, and he has given us all that we need to know for our guidance as the people of God. And the rules are in the book, and he expects us to observe those rules. But he says, if a man strives, he's not crowned except he strives lawfully. I'm afraid there's an awful lot of our service won't stand the test when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We haven't striven lawfully. We haven't gone according to the rules. We haven't observed the word of God, and we haven't done things as God would have us do them. And so there must be the striving lawfully. Now, in connection with the husbandman or the farmer, you'll notice the thing that stands out there. He says it's a patience. The man is to be patiently looking forward for the fruit. And in connection with the farmer, there's one thing he has to learn. He has to learn this. The seed that I'm putting into the ground, it's got to die. It's got to go through the process of death before anything can come of it. And there, I believe, is a lesson that we have to learn in connection with the farmer as far as we are concerned as God's people. Death must come upon everything of the flesh, and the flesh must be put in the place of death, and it must be withered up if there's going to be anything for God in our lives as the people of God. As the Apostle Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. And so, for the husbandman, it's the patience, waiting, and laboring, and looking forward for the time of the fruit. Now, I want to come back to the sun, and to look a little at the sun. And he says to Timothy, my son, be strong in the faith that is in Christ. He says, be strong. Now you take a son, and a thing that we think of in connection with a son is likeness to the parent. You know, when you see a little child, you look at the parent, and you begin to think, which do they look like? Do they look like the father, or do they look like the mother? And of course, the mother feels quite pleased when somebody comes along and says, my, she's just like her mother. And on the other hand, if a little fellow is like the father, how pleased he feels when they say he's just like his daddy. When our first little fellow was born, the nurse says, now you can come and take a look at him. And she was inside the glass that was protecting the nursery room. And she came to the into the glass with a little thing in her arms. And as she held him in her arms, we got to look at him through the glass. That's as near as we could find. But you know, she said to us, she said, you know, I don't need to put a band on his arm. She says, all you need to do is come and he'll know who the child belongs to. There was a likeness there. And so with the children of God, there should be the likeness in your life and mine as the children of God. And that likeness should be of our Father in heaven. You remember the Lord Jesus, he's speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But he says, I say unto thee, thou shalt love thine enemy. And he says, do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And he says, you'll be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Because he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Are we showing the likeness of our Father which is in heaven? Is the stamp of God upon us as the children of God? Are we displaying the likeness of our Father? Or is it like the Lord Jesus as he looked upon those scribes and Pharisees and he said to them, hear of your father the devil, and he says, his work he will do. Ah, he saw the very stamp of Satan upon the work that they were doing. And you know, it's possible for us as God's people, instead of our work, being the works of our Father which is in heaven. And the stamp of God being upon those works, it's possible for the very opposite to be in our lives. You know, I've seen it again and again with God's people. And I've seen recently where a woman, she was holding a grudge against another sister. And she couldn't seem to get away from it. Now I'm not saying that the sisters are entirely to blame as far as that's concerned. I'm not saying that's just a characteristic of the sisters. But this happened to be a sister, and she says, I can't forgive that sister for what she has done against me. Now is that the likeness of our Father which is in heaven, and she the present my friend. An unforgiving spirit isn't the likeness of our Heavenly Father. I hope there's none here this afternoon, and you're holding a grudge against some child of God. You can't forgive them, and you can't rise above that which they have done to you, and you say to yourself, I can't forgive them. Oh, I think of the Lord Jesus when he hung on that cross, and he looked down upon his enemies, and he lifts his eyes heavenward, as it were, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not what they do. There's the stamp of our Heavenly Father. There's the image, and there's the imprint, as it were, of our Heavenly Father. Now he says, be strong in the faith that is in Christ. We were hearing about growth yesterday, and if there's anything you like to see in a little child, it's growth and development. You like to see them grow. I was in a home just recently, and when I went there, there's a little boy, and he's sitting in a high chair. And as I looked at him, I knew there was something wrong. And I said to the mother, after speaking with her for a little while, I said, how old is he? And I could see she was very reticent to say much. And I looked and I saw the tears coming down her cheeks. And her head went down, and she said, he's 11 years of age. And there he was sitting in a chair. He was a skeptic, and the head had to be propped up. If it wasn't propped, it would just fall to one side. There was no coordination as far as the muscles were concerned. Oh, the heavy burden on the heart of that mother as she thought of that little child. There was no development and no growth. You know, sometimes I think there was a lot of suffering in his family. And there isn't the development and the growth in our spiritual line that it should be. The apostle had to reprove the Corinthians, and he says, then you should be able to take meat. He says, I can only give you milk. And he says, you should be full grown. And he says, you should be developing in the things of God. And you should be developing in the ways of Christ. But instead, he says, you're babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. Now, Timothy, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't need to stress on as to how strength is to be developed as a Christian. There's only one way that you can become strong as a Christian, and that is by feeding on the right things. You know, I'm afraid God's people today are feeding on so many things that are just tearing down the spirituality that should be seen there. They're struggling over things that they couldn't be struggling over at all. And instead of contending for the truth of God, they're simply being contentious over some little quibbling thing that they get their minds set upon. And what do you find? You find that it's true. The whole assembly is in a turmoil because of some that are of a contentious spirit. Now the Word of God tells us that we're to contend for the truth of God. But let me say this, we can contend for the truth of God and not be contentious. Sometimes we defeat the very purpose for which we stand by the Spirit that governs us as God's people. What do I mean? Fighting in a fleshly way and being governed by a wrong spirit, and at the same time thinking we're contending for the truth of God. He says be strong in the grace that is in Christ. And so we'll have to be feeding on the Word of God. You know, I think too that young Christians today, I've seen many of them, and they're hearing things that are going on amongst God's people that are of no help to them whatever. I remember as a young Christian why the older Christians were so careful as to, in my own individual case, and in the case of others, as to what we've heard about went on amongst God's people. They sought to keep those things promised that wouldn't be helpful to us, and they sought to get us occupied with the Word of God. You know, young Christians, it won't do you any good if you start feeding on the faults and failures and troubles that are amongst God's people. It will just wither your soul, and you'll find yourself getting away in heart from God, and you'll find yourself becoming unhappy in your soul. If you want to be strong in the grace that is in Christ, you'll have to feed on the Word of God, and you'll have to strengthen and nourish that soul of yours with the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Now he says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. Now the next thing he says to him is, he says, commit thou to faithful men the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses. Now he says, Timothy, I want you to commit to faithful men. Men who will be faithful with the Word of God. I was speaking with a man some time ago, and he had gone on well in the ways of God for a number of years. And he stood for the truth of God for a number of years, but he changed his course. And I was speaking to him one day, and I said, you didn't stand for those things a number of years ago. Your ideas were different a number of years ago from what they are now. I said, I've changed my mind about things. I've changed my mind. Well, my friend, the Word of God didn't change. He had changed his mind and changed his course, for the word of God was still the same. Now he says to Mr. Heffelman, Heffelman, it's nice to see men who are faithful with the word of God. It's nice to see those who have a heart and an interest regarding faith to the bond that has been purchased at such a price and seeking to maintain the assembly along Christian lines. And so he says, faithful men. You know, we were here reading about Mary this morning, and I thought of Mary, how she was rewarded for her faithfulness. There she came early in the morning. And she's at the sepulcher. And she sees the tomb that's rolled away. Here's the first thing she saw. She saw that empty tomb. And then the next thing she saw was two angels. Now it was a wonderful thing to see two angels. But that didn't satisfy Mary. She saw those two angels and she saw those empty clothes. But the next thing she saw was him. She got a look at him, and she saw himself, and you know she was the first one to carry the message regarding the risen Savior. Oh, she was rewarded for her faithfulness unto himself, and for her devotion unto Christ. You know, when the disciples came, Peter and John, they read of them after they saw the empty tomb and the empty clothes, they went to their own home. But Mary, she stayed without the sepulcher, weeping, and very soon she sees the Lord Jesus. Ah, he rewarded for her faithfulness. Oh, how he delights to reward his own for faithfulness unto himself. And so he says, faithful men. The word to the overcomer in Smyrna is, he says, be thou faithful unto death. And he says, I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, he says, Satan will cast you into prison. And he says, you'll have trials for 10 days. But he says, be faithful unto death. And he says, I'll see to it that you get the crown of life. Faithfulness unto death.
I heard a little story some time ago of a little dog that followed the remains of his master to the cemetery.
All the loved ones, they went to the cemetery and they saw the remains laid away. And after the remains were laid away, everyone goes to their own home. For the little dog is placed right by the grave. And the dog lay down there by the grave. And when the grave diggers came along to try and cover the grave, there's the little dog, and they couldn't get him to move. He lay down by that grave. And they couldn't do a thing to get him away from it. The little dog remained there for days, and they couldn't get him to move. Oh, the faithfulness of the group beast to his master. Ah, God wants us to be faithful to his son. The one who is redeemed us by his own precious blood. And he says here, now Timothy, I want you to commit to faithful men. Men who will be faithful to my son. These truths that you have learned and you have seen of me, and he says, I want you to come at them. Thank God we have the truth that we have today. The truth of gathering for the Lord's name. Those precious truths that were brought with such a price and for which some have to seal the testimony with their blood. For those very truths today are being let slip. Possibly not in this part. But they're certainly being let slip in certain parts, the truth of being gathered to the Lord's name, and other truths that are so precious to God's people. So he says, commit to faithful men. These things, and then he says to them, now he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The first thing when a soldier puts on the uniform, he has to learn this lesson. I'm not my own anymore. When 6 o'clock comes, he knows this. I can't put my coat on and go home. Ah, no, he can't do that. He learns this. I'm under orders, and I have to obey orders. And I have to obey my superiors and I have to carry out the things that I'm ordered to do. I think it was Wellington on one occasion, he gave a command for one of his subordinates, and he said, go out and take such and such a position. And he came back into the presence of Wellington, and he said, it can't be done. Wellington looked at him and he said, I didn't ask you if it should be done. He says, I gave a command, and I expect it to be carried out. And the man went out from his presence, and he took the position. He carried out the command. Our captain has given us command, and he has given us his word, and he expects us to carry out those commands. And as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, he says, now, Timothy, I want you to endure hardness as a good soldier. And he says, a good soldier is not entangled in the affairs of this life. Oh, how much entanglement there is in the affairs of this life as far as God's people are concerned in the business world. And sad to say, in some cases, in the political world. And oh, how much there is of the religious world. And he says we're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. We're to be separated from all of these things. And he says a good soldier won't be entangled in the affairs of this life. Ah, yes. Faithful to our captain. I think it was Napoleon on one occasion. He, one of his soldiers got wounded. And after he was wounded, he was taken into the hospital. And when he was in the hospital, and they began to probe for the bullet, the bullet had lodged near his heart, and they began to probe, and finally, after some considerable time, they got near the bullet, and after they got it out, getting it out, the soldiers got to him. If they probed a little deeper, you'd find the bullet. Find the bullet. What did he mean? Why, he was told about the sin of Napoleon that he meant he was in his heart. In his heart. Ah, he wants us to be devoted to the person of his son. And if we're devoted to Christ, we won't be entangled in the affairs of this life. You know, sometimes you hear young Christians say, well, it isn't any harm to do this. It isn't any harm to go in for this pleasure, or that pleasure, or the other pleasure. If there was devotion to Christ, there wouldn't be such a question. If we were really devoted to Him, there wouldn't be the entanglement and in the affairs of this life. There'd be a separated walk from this world, and a separation unto Himself. And so He says, the soldier isn't to be entangled in the affairs of this life. Now you'll notice, in connection with the athlete, he says of him, a man 5 days in the game. He says he's not crowned unless he's strives lawfully. There must be the lawful striving if we're going to be crowned. As a young lad, I loved to run and in the races. As a boy, I led him for the athletic quite a little. And we used to have our yearly tournament. I remember again and again how we prepared for those tournaments. As soon as it'd be over, we'd be preparing for the next year. The 100-yard dash and the high jump and all the rest of it. And we'd be practicing right from the time the thing was over until it came along the next year. The young fellow, and he was running in the 100-yard dash, and of course, after the race was over, the prizes were being given up. And this young fellow, he thought, well, I just want to go around the tree. He touched the tree, and he didn't go around it. And he came in first, and he lined up when the prizes were being given up. And of course, the man who was giving out the prizes, he sat on the wrong side. And he gave the prize to the next lad. And then the young fellow, he was quite indignant. And he said to him, you gave him the prize because you liked him better than me. Ah, he says, that's why you gave him the prize. And the man said, no, he says, it's not that. He says, I saw how you won the race. He says, I saw you didn't run around the tree.
He says, I saw you just run up to the tree and touched it and turned around and came back. He says, you didn't run according to the rules. And so that's why you didn't get the prize. And so the apostle says here, if a man contends in a game, he says, unless he strives lawfully, he's not found. He has given us the rules to run by. And he says, now, if you're going to get the crown, if you're going to get the reward in that day, you'll have to see to it that you're running according to the rules. I'm afraid we forget the rules. Oh, how often we forget the rules, and we're so earnest in the race. You know, there's many well-meaning Christians in denominational places, and they don't know anything about the rules. Don't know anything. They forget the rules entirely, and that they want to be rewarded as a judgment seat of Christ. This is what the Word of God says. If a man strive lawfully, he's not proud, unless he strives lawfully, unless he strives according to the rules. Now you notice in connection with the husbandman, he says, the husbandman must first be partakers of the fruit. There's a patient waiting on the part of the farmer. He prepares the soil, he puts in the seed, and after the soil is prepared and the seed is in, well, does he expect the crop the next week? Well, no, he doesn't. There's weeks and weeks of waiting before the fruit comes. And so there must be the patience waiting on the part of the laborer. And you know, it's in this connection that he says, remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David. What about him? Well, he says, of the seed of David, what does he mean? Well, he means simply that he's the one who is going to take the throne of David. Well, he hasn't got it yet. And he's waiting a long time for it. He's now away at the right hand of God. And he's been away for many years. But he's waiting patiently until the moment comes when he takes the throne of his father David. Thank God he's going to take the throne. And he's going to reign from the rivers to the ends of the earth. And we'll reign with him. And so there must be the patient waiting for the fruit. And now he says, remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David that was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now the farmer, he gets passing upon the seed that is sowed, and so there must be death as far as the flesh is concerned. The apostle Paul speaking, he says, I die daily. Ah, yes, he knew what it meant for the flesh to be put in the place of death, and he said, say, I am crucified with Christ. And it's as the flesh is put in the place of death that there'll be anything out of it, out of our lives for God. And if the flesh is not put in a place of death, why, then there won't be much there for God. The flesh must be set to one side. I think it was Brother Alvin I heard telling about a sign that he saw over a dying establishment, and it read, we die to live. We die to live. And then another underneath it said, we live to die. We live to die. And the more we die, the more we live. Well, now that looks good, as far as the Christian is concerned. The more we die, the more we live. And so the apostle says, we'll live unto him. And the farmer has to see this passing upon everything. And he has to see, has to patiently wait for the fruit. Ah, thank God. The fruit is coming, and there's a day coming, when we stand in his presence. And we'll hear his word. Well done, good and faithful servant. He wants us to be faithful in a day of the cross. The apostle says, all in Asia are departed from me. Now, Asia was the part that John wrote to in the book of the Revelation to the seven churches, and we see the departure as John writes about it later, and the apostle speaks of it in his life. He says, all in Asia have departed from me. And so he's writing to Timothy that he might be faithful in the midst of the country. May God help us, that we might be faithful to his word. And what he has entrusted to us as the people of God in these days of the country, till our Lord Jesus Christ comes.
and everything that he didn't.